Here we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have made. We thank you that we can live this day in your presence and that you have received us into your presence through the atoning blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are so grateful that we can have relationship with you because of sins forgiven, because of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm grateful that we can gather in Jesus' name to study the scriptures and learn about you and your plans for our planet and for our race. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing. We pray that your Holy Spirit will come and instruct us again this morning. And we pray that you will watch over Eddie and all those that are traveling and involved in other things today. Pray that you will watch over each one and grant them a sense of your presence and blessing with them today, even as we ask for your blessing for us now. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so on page D3, if you can find page Delta 3, one of the things that we want to do in this study is to learn everything we can about what this revelation says about Jesus. It is, after all, the revelation or the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And so while we are very interested to know everything that the book of Revelation can teach us, we want to particularly pay attention to what it teaches us about the Lord Jesus. So there's some pages there in your Delta section, beginning on page D3, that provide space for you to jot down your insights. As you notice things about Jesus, you want to remember to turn to these pages and say, oh, okay, in this verse, in Revelation 1:5, for example, you see at the top of the list, I think I've given you the first few already there. You see it at the top of the list in chapter 1, verse 5, we see that Jesus is the faithful witness. We saw in chapter 1 that he has the keys of death and Hades. And if you have the keys, biblically speaking, that implies that you own it, that you have authority over it. And it's wonderful. It is really wonderful to know the person who has authority over death. It's wonderful to know that that stranger driving your taxi cannot harm you without the Lord's permission. He owns death. He's the King of Kings, that is, he rules over kings. He's the lover of our souls, the liberator, the pierced one. And see if we've got any more here. We spent some extra time with verse 1:8, and we saw that Jesus presents himself as the only God, as the living one, that is, the self-existent one. Remember, we talked about him being the originator and the terminator. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Glad to see you. Welcome. Come on in. Hello, ladies. James. Thank you, James. Wow. We're on page Delta 3. James, I want you to find the B page that we were talking about last week. Let's see. Thank you. go. Now we know we're on the right page because it's got all your doodles on it, right? Yeah. And you had such a great answer last week, I forgot to give you your gold star for the great insight that you shared last week. So there you go. Okay. Okay. On several pages in the D section, beginning on page D3, we are recording insights about Jesus himself that come out in this wonderful book of Revelation. So you have some of them already written down for you, and I want to encourage you as we go along in our discussion, as we come to passages, you'll see things that I haven't written down, and you'll say to yourself, oh, that's an interesting insight about Jesus, and these are the pages that provide a space for you to jot those down. I was just saying that we spent some extra time on verse 1-8 and saw that Jesus is the only God, the self-existent one, the originator. He's the one that began everything so far as creation is concerned. He's also the terminator in the sense that he brings an end to sin and someday will bring a complete end to all evil. We saw that he's the coming one in chapter 1 and verse 8. And in the letters to the seven churches, when he had to warn some of the churches to repent of the things that they were doing wrong, he said, if you don't repent, I'm coming. So when he speaks of himself as the coming one, that has both a positive and a negative sense, depending on where we are in our relationship to him. In John chapter 14, verse 8, he said to his disciples who were fearful and upset because he was talking about leaving, he said, don't worry, I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. Okay, so he's the coming one if we need comfort and help. And he's the coming one if we need chastening and rebuke, correction. So, even though our Lord Jesus is in heaven today at the right hand of the Father, at the same time, by his Holy Spirit, he is the constantly coming one. He will come to us whenever we need him. You've got those noted down. You can turn back to our B section, Bravo section, and find where we left off last week. We should be, I believe, on page B6. B6. And I think we're working on question number 5, if I'm not mistaken. Don't worry if you don't get all of these copied down now. We'll look back at these pages again in the future. So let's see if we can find page, let's see, question 5. Yes. Remember that the Lord Jesus warned the church congregation of Laodicea that they were lukewarm. They were in a spiritual state that was not useful to anyone. They would have been useful and productive if they were cold and refreshing to people. They would have been useful if they were like hot water that people could use for washing, but they were lukewarm that people neither wanted to drink nor use for washing, and they just weren't very useful for anything because they had compromised in their spiritual lives. So the Lord tells them, I want you to buy something from me. I want you to buy real gold and so forth. He counsels them to buy some spiritual things. But how can you buy intangible things? It reminds me of Isaiah 55:1, where the Spirit of God through the prophet of Isaiah said, "You who have no money, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." But these are words, material words, speaking of spiritual things. They're metaphors. And so, you know, if we're talking about spiritual goods, how can you buy something that's intangible? Any idea about the goods?
Well, we're told that to store our treasures in heaven, so like doing good deeds and helping people provide is kind of storing our treasures in heaven. So that's kind of like we're buying things, storing in heaven, doing things for God.
Okay, that's very good. Serving